Hare Krishna. So, the newcomers today are welcome to Ujjain, Guru Gauranga and his family. Anyone else? Oh, doctor came. So anyway, all those who came today, we are cordially welcome to Ujjain. Everything is alright? Suchitra, how is Champi doing? Please take me. And Lalita, how are you? So, we had been, for the last 3 days, we had been discussing about Ramayana, the wonderful pastimes of Lila Purushottam, wonderful pastimes of Sri Marjada Purushottam, Sri Ramchandra. We covered last 3 days, we covered 5 khandas out of 7 khandas. The first day we did Bal Khanda and Ayodhya Khanda. Then next day we did Aranya Khanda and Kishkindha Khanda. Then yesterday we did Sundar Khanda. That Sundar Khanda is a very special chapter because this chapter describes the glorious activities of Hanuman. Just as in Mahabharata, Arjun is the ideal example of a devotee, in Ramayana, Hanuman is that devotee. In Ramayana, Hanuman is that exemplary devotee. Actually, the Lord's glory is properly established through the devotee. Without a devotee and his activities, we cannot properly understand the glory of the Supreme Personality of God. Just as in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna told Arjuna, Bhaktosi me sakhachi, that you are my devotee and you are my friend, therefore I am establishing this parampara, this disciplic succession through you. This knowledge was lost. What knowledge? The knowledge about the Supreme Personality of God. Saka leneha mahata yoga nashta parantava. The yoga, the process of understanding Supreme Personality of Godhead was lost. Nashta was, became spoiled. But Krishna told Arjun, the yoga nashta parantapa, but now, mayate adda, puna prakta, that to, sa evayang mayate adya, yoga prakta purata. So, mayate adda, I will tell you today that the yoga which I told before, yoga prakta puratana. Sa evayam mayate adya yoga prakta puratana. Why? Because bhaktosi me sakhacheti. Because you are my friend and you are my devotee. So similarly in Ramayana, Ramchandra's glory is established through Hanuman. Other monkeys are there, but Hanuman is standing out above all of them because of his devotion. And Ramchandra also, time and time again, established that. The Hanuman is very special. But sometimes Ramchandra also chastised Hanuman. When the squirrel was putting sand while building the bridge to Lanka, Hanuman was carrying big boulders, and he told the squirrel that, please get out of my way. Don't you see that we are carrying big boulders? You'll get crushed under our feet. Then Ramchandra said, no, Hanuman. Just as you are rendering service according to the best of your ability, this squirrel also is trying to serve me according to the best of his ability. So, this service is of the same category. Volume of the service is not the consideration. The consideration is the sincerity behind the service, the earnestness behind the service, to the best of one's ability. When he serves the Lord, that is extremely pleasing to the Supreme Personality of God. So in this way we can see the Lord sometimes chastises his pure devotees also. The dearmost devotees also are sometimes chastised. So in Sundarkanda ended with Hanuman coming back with the news of Sita after burning Lanka, creating fear in the heart of Ravana. So when Hanuman described all those in detail to Ramchandra, Ram was extremely pleased with Hanuman's extraordinary accomplishment. He was extremely pleased with Hanuman. And then he told Hanuman that there are three kinds of servants. The first class servant is he, when while he serves what he has been asked to do to the best of his ability, he does it even beyond that. Beyond what he has been asked, more than what he has been asked to do. Second class is he who just executes what he has been asked to do and doesn't do anything more, even though he is capable of doing. And third class is he who doesn't even accomplish what he has been asked to do, even though he is capable of doing. So this way he pointed out there are three kinds of servants, or there are three kinds of devotees. And he said, you are best. You are the first class devotee. Because you have done what you have been asked to do. Why Hanuman? What was Hanuman asked to do? To find out where Sita was. Bring the message of Sita. Because Ram and the monkeys did not know where Sita was, whether she was still alive. Of course, this is past time. But that was the subject matter. They didn't know where Sita was. They didn't know whether Sita was alive still. What happened to Sita? They didn't have any information. So Sugriv sent different devotees, different monks, to different directions. South, north, east, south, west, north, in all directions. Hanuman was sent to south along with Angad, Jambavan, Mainda and Dvibida. And after great adventure, they came back. So Ramchandra told Hanuman that you are the best. Because you not only brought the message of Sita, information about Sita, but you have plundered Lanka, causing great damage to the enemy. And you have caused great fear in the heart of Ravana. So by the act of Hanuman, that is what Hanuman burnt Lanka. They wanted to burn Hanuman's tail. What did Hanuman do? Hanuman burnt out entire Lanka. The whole of Lanka was burnt, excepting Vibhishan's palace. That was spared because Vibhishan was a saintly devotee of the Lord. And seeing the activity of Hanuman, Ravan was in great anxiety. So he told, Lord Ramchandra told Hanuman, that Hanuman, I am in exile, I don't have any possession now. I do not know what I can offer you. The only thing that I can offer you is my loving embrace. So he embraced Hanuman. Now what can be a greater gift than the loving embrace from the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Since I am in exile without proper means, all I can offer in exchange for your service is my embrace. That's what Lord Ramchandra told Hanuman. And then Ramchandra asked Hanuman to tell him that what is Lanka like. He asked Hanuman to tell about Lanka's defense mechanism and Lanka's weakness. So Hanuman described that Lanka has four types of defense. One is a natural defense. The natural defense is that Lanka is situated on top of a mountain. And the city is situated on top of a high mountain encircled by a river and surrounded by dense forest. So, Sri Lanka has a natural defense in this. It's situated on top of a mountain. It is surrounded by a river, encircled by a river, and so that river is creating a natural moat. And then beyond that, there is a dense forest. Anyway, that was no defense for the monkeys because they are at home in the dense forest. Then there are fortifications. Then high golden walls surrounding Lanka with four massive gates facing in four directions. Then the artificial defense. The artificial means created defense. Defense that was created. There's Lanka is surrounded by high wall. Now that wall is made of solid gold. And then there are four gates. And those gates has the catapults. From the wall, they can shoot lances and rocks and to the approaching enemies. And then there is a moat. Surrounding walls are wide moats filled with fierce alligators. So if anyone goes into the moat, he'll be devoured by the alligators and sharks. Four drawbridges. Drawbridges means they can put the bridge down when they need, but then they will draw the bridge so that nobody else can use. So we can see thousands of years back how civilized was this country. Or this world actually. It's not that the world is gradually becoming civilized. The world had been civilized, highly civilized before. Only they have forgotten. And so Hanuman was thinking that how to approach Lanka. So he actually suggested that great warriors like Angad, Divid, Mainda, Jambavan, Panasa, Neela and myself can jump over Lanka. That's what Hanuman first thought. That we'll jump over to Lanka and then we'll take care of Ravana. Actually, Hanuman himself could have killed Ravan. Why he didn't do it? Because he hadn't been asked to do that. Now he could have, then what he thought? That he will just get hold of Ravan and jump across the ocean, bring him to Ramchandra, to be slaughtered to Lord Shiva, to be offered as a sacrifice. But he didn't want to do that because he didn't have the order from Ramchandra to do that. So that's why he didn't do that. And so he suggested that just few of us are powerful enough. Angad, even Sugriv, he didn't include Sugriv. Because the king generally do not go into the forefront of the battle. He stays behind. That also will be explained later on. So Sugriv was not included in the team. Who are included? The crown prince, Angad, Neela, the general of the monkeys, commander-in-chief of the monkeys, Divida, Mainda. These are two very, very powerful demons, the son of Ashwini Kumar, sons of Ashwini Kumar, and Jambavan. So they thought that they could jump across Lanka, jump across the ocean to Lanka, and will take care of Ravan. But Ram said, no, it is my vow that I shall personally go to destroy Lanka. So he also calculated that the sun is now in Abhijit Nakshatra. So this is a good time to start a war. So let's start the war. So from that point, and then Sugriv actually made the arrangement, commanded all the, he ordered all the monkeys, and the monkeys now started to move from Kishkindha to the bank of the ocean to reach Lanka. And so then the monkeys started to move forward with a great enthusiasm and jubilation. They were doing all kinds of things. They were jumping, they were climbing onto each other's shoulders, they were rolling on the ground sometimes. They were sometimes somersaulting on the sky. So in this way they just started to move in that with the battle cry. And in the meantime, Ravan was in great anxiety. So he called his ministers and close associates and generals, and he had a meeting. So in that meeting, everyone started to tell Ravan. Ravan told that now, after seeing what Hanuman has done, like, it seems that Ram with the monkeys will be coming soon, and we should not underestimate the enemy, so we should make our battle plan. So different monkeys, different demons rather, gave different advice. Prahasta, who was the commander-in-chief of Ravana, said, like, we have conquered the demigods, we have conquered the demons, we have conquered the asuras, so why should you be afraid of just some two human beings and a few bunch of monkeys? Actually, Hanuman could create some disturbance because we are not prepared. There is a saying that at the time of death, one loses his rational thinking. So they saw, like, not only created a little disturbance, Ravan's five generals were dead, Ravan's son was dead, his minister's seven sons were dead, and thousands upon thousands of monkeys were dead. 80,000 monkeys were sent at the first lot to take care of Hanuman. Hanuman cleaned them up. And then the entire army with the five generals along with the army had been destroyed just by one person, Hanuman. And then even when Indrajit brought him with Brahmastra, binding him with Brahmastra, Hanuman actually allowed him to be bound. He could have released himself from that. But he thought this is a good opportunity to see Ravan and see their power. So as a spy, that was his mission also, to find out the ability of the enemy. But he said that, oh, we have defeated so many people, so we'll be victorious. Then another Rakshas named Dhumraksha, he stood up and he said that I will take care of this. I shall rid the whole world of every single monkey. That Hanuman caused so much insult as a retaliation, as a revenge, while wipe out the whole monkey tribe. So then another general called Vajradrangshta shouted, who cares to fight with a bunch of monkeys? I will go kill Ram and Lakshman and just give me the order. Then another Rakshasa named Vajrabahu, who was as large as a mountain, as large as a hill, boasted, O king, remain here and conduct your business as usual. Drink wine and make merry while I attend to Ram, Lakshman and their army of monkeys. And this is then all the Rakshasas became excited. They started to shout and make noise. Oh, yeah, kill Ram, kill Lakshman, wipe out all the monkeys. Then Vibhishan stood up. He said, cool down. Please, sit down. I have something to say. And he told Ravan, my dear elder brother, the wise have advised that violence should be used only after the three means have failed. Sam, Dan, Bhed, and then Danda. So violence or danda should be used after three have failed. That is, try to make truce, try to make peace. If that doesn't work, then bribe him, give him gifts. And if that doesn't happen, then try to create animosity among, create difference, discord among the enemy line. Then only you get into war. So you haven't done that. And also you must remember that Ram is not an ordinary person. He's a supremely powerful personality. And he is now is prepared to take revenge. So he'll be extremely dangerous now. And how can you defeat him? Sita's abduction is the root cause of our present crisis. That you have stole Sita, that is the cause of our trouble. So please return Sita back and avoid this situation, which is not going to be very pleasant, because you have seen what one monkey has done. Now can you imagine when the monkey army comes, what they will do? And empowered by Ram and Lakshman. So they are the... Vibhishan is a devotee. He knew that Ramchandra is the supreme personality of Godhead. That's why he time and time again tried to dissuade Ravan. So then Ravan dismissed the assembly. He retired home to his palace. The next morning, Vibhishan came to Ravan. And as Ravan sat on his throne, and then he told, you know the condition? So you have to go and stand out. I told, any mobile phone rings, he'll be thrown out of the class. So just go stand there. That's... You know why I'm doing that? So that everybody learns a lesson. Okay, now you can come. So again, Bibhishan gave him advice. But this time Ravan became furious. And he insulted him. He said that, you are a traitor. You are envious of me, that's why you are praising the enemies. And you are not seeing our interest. And when Bibhishan was, at that time, Prahastha, Ravan sent different generals to gather their strength and prepare for the thing, for the battle. And in order to encourage his generals, he actually he concocted one story. He told them that Sita has agreed to marry him after 1 year. So he is giving Ram 1 year's time. But now that after that Sita will become, agreed to become his wife. Anyway, so then that day Ravan invited all the ministers because that was one day when Kumbhakarna woke up. Kumbhakarna, Ravan's brother, had the benediction that, not benediction, it was actually Brahma's arrangement. Kumbhakarna was so fierce, he has a huge body and he was eating up all the living creatures. So that's why in order to save the creation, Brahma saw that if he keeps on eating like that, then soon the earth will become, the universe will become empty. Earth will become empty. So he told Kumbhakarna that, actually he made Kumbhakarna was strict to ask a boon, that he could sleep for 6 months at a stretch. So then Ravan actually pleaded that Kumbhakarna would sleep all the time. So Ravan pleaded that at least allow him to stay awake for some time. So then Brahma said, okay, he'll sleep for 6 months and stay awake for 1 day. And so that was the day when Kumbhakarna woke up. So Ravan invited all his ministers and all. And when Kumbhakarna was told what has happened, Kumbhakarna actually responded quite interestingly. He stood up and sharply replied, "Oh foolish king, you should have consulted us when you planned to kidnap Sita." Instead of acting impulsively, that would have been saved you from repenting later on. Regardless, you may give up your anxiety, for I shall counteract your blunder by killing Ram and Lakshman. The blunder that you have created, I will counteract that by killing Ram and Lakshman, along with the monkeys, and devouring all the monkeys. Then Mahaparsha, another general of Ravan, he told that when honey is available in a snake-infested forest, why should he refrain from drinking the honey because of the fear of snakes? So, similarly, why cannot forcibly enjoy Sita? He said that you have kidnapped Sita, so you enjoy. Who can stop you? Then Ravan told them that actually, I never told you all before, that long time ago, once an apsara, beautiful apsara called Punjika Sthali, was going to Brahma to offer her worship to him. And at that time, seeing her, I became so lusty that I forcibly enjoyed her. And then after that, with tears in her eyes, she went and complained to Brahma. Then Brahma cursed me that, "You rascal, if you ever do that to any woman, your head will split in 100 pieces. So because of that curse, I am afraid of forcing Sita to my bed. And anyway, that is how, why Ravan was not forcing Sita. At the end, Vibhishan told Ravan, "My dear brother, can't you see that she is just like a poisonous snake that you have willingly placed around your neck? She is a poisonous snake that you have willingly placed around your neck. So please respond with your good intelligence and return her back to Ramchandra before she becomes the cause of Lanka's destruction." So in this way, Vibhishan was always giving him good advice. She told that, "I am only thinking of your welfare when I say that you should return Sita to Ram. The minister who measures the relative strength of the king and his enemy and then gives advice accordingly is the true well-wisher. Your other ministers, they are not giving you good advice because they are not judging, they are not comparing your strength against Ram's strength. And they are just telling you, go ahead, fight, go ahead, we'll go to war." But they are not comparing the thing. So this is not a good advice. At that point, Indrajit, Ravan's eldest son, became very, very perturbed. And he started to insult Vibhishan. Of course, Vibhishan, he was younger. So Vibhishan chastised him and told him, "You kid, you sit down. You don't talk. So we seniors are talking. It is not proper for juniors to interfere." So, but at that, Ravan became very, very angry and he started to chastise Vibhishan. So at that, Vibhishan left. Actually, Ravan told him that, "You are a traitor, we don't want you here." So when he started to insult him like that, so Vibhishan along with his four associates, they just left the, left Lanka and joined, went to Ramchandra. So staying up on the sky, they approached the bank of the ocean where Ram camped with the monkeys. And staying up on the sky, and when they saw they are approaching, Sugriv noticed them along with Hanuman. And then Sugriv told him that some Rakshasas are coming to kill us, Hanuman. So then Vibhishan told him that, "Look, I am the brother of Ravan and these are my four intimate associates. So Ravan, I have been giving good advice to Ravan. I was asking Ravan to return Sita and make peace with Ramchandra, but he became so agitated, so disturbed, and so angry with me that he started to insult me, calling me all kinds of things. And therefore, I left my family and everything, and I have come here to take shelter of Ram." So Sugriv then went to Ramchandra and reported that one Rakshasa has come along with four others and we suspect that they are spies and they have come here to cause harm. So Ramchandra asked the other monkey generals what they thought, And all of them had their doubts about his intention, Bibhishan's intention. So finally, Ramchandra asked Hanuman, "Hanuman, what do you think?" So Hanuman said that from his appearance and the way he was speaking, it seems that he is honest. He has not come with any ill intention. And maybe he will be, it will be good to make allegiance with him. And Hanuman actually first thing he told that we don't have to have the time to figure, to check Bibhishan, to test Bibhishan. In my opinion, he has come here with all sincerity, hoping to take shelter of Lord Ram. He has understood that Ravan is wicked and that Ram is the supreme emblem of purity and righteousness. His peaceful demeanor and considerate speech indicate the honesty of his purpose. For a deceitful person cannot remain so composed. We can see how wise Hanuman was, how clear was his observation. A deceitful person cannot be so composed. It is not possible for anyone to fully conceal his inner intention. It's not possible for one to fully hide his inner intention. It will become manifest, it will become revealed somehow or other. The facial expression always gives some clue into one's thoughts. I think Bibhishan should be accepted as our ally without reservation. So then Ramchandra said, "Yes, I agree with Hanuman." And then Ramchandra said something very wonderful. Ramchandra then told that if one comes even with an evil intention to surrender unto me, he may be deceitfully coming to me, but if he surrenders to me, saying that I am surrendering unto you, his intention may be otherwise. But if he just says that I am surrendering unto you, I accept him. Even if one comes to harm me, pretending to be surrendering to me, I accept him. So what to speak of one when with all good intention he is coming to surrender unto you. So in this way we can see how rewarding it is to be surrendered to the Lord. Like even though we may not be meaning it, but if we say, "O Lord, I surrender unto you. O Krishna, I surrender unto you. O Ram, I surrender unto you." Without any feeling, if we say that, Ramchandra accepts it. What to speak of without feeling? If we come to Ramchandra or Krishna Chandra with some evil intention, pretending to surrender unto him, Krishna and Ram accepts us. And then Ramchandra says something very wonderful. He said, "And then I give him all protection. Not only till the end of this life, even beyond this life, life after life." So it's such a wonderful assurance that Ramchandra gave at that. And then Bibhishan was brought to Ramchandra and he fell at his lotus feet, offering himself to him. Then Ram asked Bibhishan to describe the strength and weakness of the enemy, strength and the weaknesses of the enemy, that means Ravan. In reply, Bibhishan said, "Because of receiving benediction from Brahma, Ravan has become immune to death at the hands of demigods, Gandharvas, Daityas, Danavas, Nagas, and all such creatures. Indeed, he cannot be killed by any creature except human beings, whom he considered to be too insignificant. He thought human beings, who cares? Just like we may think, oh, what an ant, I'm an ant. One ant, what can an ant do? So similarly, Ravana thought that what a human beings can do. There's no need to ask any immunity or protection from them. And then he told that his brother, Ravana's younger brother, Kumbhakarna, is as huge as a great mountain and as powerful as Indra. The commander-in-chief of Rakshasas, Prahasta, who once vanquished the Jaksha hero, Manibhadra, at Mount Kailash. He is an associate of Lord Shiva. And Prahasta defeated him. Likewise, there is Ravan's son, Indrajit, who is equal to Ravan in all respects. So this is their enemy. This is their strength, enemy strength. And Indrajit wears impenetrable armor, and after propitiating the god of fire, he is able to make himself invisible on the battlefield. There are millions of other Rakshasas headed by Mahodara, Mahaparsha, Akampana. All of them are very fierce and can change their forms at will. They could change their form also at will. And then about weaknesses. What was Ravan's weakness? Because he has taken the path of sin. He is too proud. He was so confident of himself. He was too confident of himself. And because of that, he did not hesitate to commit the most abominable of all sins. He troubled the rishis, the saintly personalities, and then finally, he has stolen Sita. As a result of that, he lost all his virtuous assets. So then Ram actually told Bibi that he will kill Ravan and he will install Bibhishana in the throne of Lanka. After killing Ravan and other Rakshasa warriors, I shall install you upon the royal throne of Lanka. And Ram ordered Lakshman to bring some water from the sea, and he immediately performed the installation ceremony or coronation ceremony. Hanuman and Sugriv said, "We feel confident about combating the Rakshasas, but we are..." Then after that, they were preparing to considering how to go across the ocean. So then Bibhishan actually advised that you can probably call Varun Dev, the deity of the ocean. And by his help, maybe we'll be able to cross the ocean. So Ramchandra then sat on a kusha grass, trying to invite Varun Dev to come, And 3 days went by, Varun didn't come. Ramchandra became extremely angry. So he then decided to chastise Varun. He picked up his bow and he took the Brahmastra and he said, "Now I'm going to dry the ocean. I'll dry out the ocean so that the monkey soldiers can march through to Lanka." So at that, Varun just came there immediately with folded hands, and Varun suggested that they should build a bridge And with his energy, he will keep the bridge afloat. And he also suggested that Nala, who was the son of Vishwakarma, has been endowed with an extraordinary engineering ability, and he will be able to mastermind that bridge. So he would be the project in charge, project manager. Ocean personified this, then said, "My dear Ram, here is Nala, the son of the celestial engineer and architect Vishwakarma. This powerful monkey is your great devotee. Indeed, he is as talented as his father. He can oversee the construction of your bridge as I allow it to float upon my waters." So to that, Nala also responded saying, "My lord, long ago my father Vishwakarma awarded my mother the benediction that she would have a son equal to him in all respects. For this reason, I possess all of Vishwakarma's architectural and engineering skills. I am quite capable of building the bridge." So in this way, within a very short time, the bridge was built across the ocean. And while building the bridge, I told you, Hanuman was carrying large boulders, and a squirrel also was throwing some sand with his little fingers, little palm. And Hanuman told, "Hey, get out of my way. We see that we are carrying all these big boulders. We are not that attentive. And if you step onto you, that will be the end of your life." But then Ramchandra approached and rebuked Hanuman, saying, "Why are you saying this? Both the squirrel and you are serving me. Although you are lifting mountain peaks and he is moving small grains of sand, you are both doing your best. I therefore consider your service and his service of equal value." So, okay, I'll just skip some details. So, he had another meeting with his generals, and as usual, now that Bibhishan was gone, there was nobody to give him some good advice. They all, like his enemy, started to give him wrong advice and provoke him into the battle. And then after that meeting, Ravan thought of some plan. So he called one of his associates called Bidyujibha. Bidyujibha, who was the great conjurer, great magician. So he told him to create, by his magic, to create an head identical to Ram's and his bow and arrow, and to come with him. So this, and then Ravan approached Sita and told her that last night when Ram and others were sleeping, my general Prahasta went and severed his head. And Lakshman, Hanuman, Sugriv and all the monkey chiefs are dead. And then he called Bidyujibha. "Bidyujibha, come here. Bring the head of Ram to show us to Sita." And seeing the severed head of Ram, Sita just started to cry. And saying, how could it be? All the astrologers, after calculating my chart, they said that I will never become a widow. I would never become a widow. So now I can see that they all were lying. They all were saying untruth. But at that time, one messenger came and told something, whispered something to Ravan. And so Ravan became very agitated. Actually, the messenger came and gave the news that there is some crisis and Prahasta wants you to come immediately. So Ravan immediately left. At that time, Kumbhakarna and Bibhishan's wife, Sharama, who was actually advised by Ravan to make friends with Sita, because so that in this distress, so that Sita doesn't leave her body. To have some consolation, have some assurance, Sarama was told to, you befriend Sita. So Vibhishan's wife Sarama then assured Sita that look, it is just a magic trick that he did. Ram is not killed. And I can assure you that Ram is not dead. The head you saw was created by Rakshasa Kanjura's trick. In truth, Ram has arrived at Lanka with Lakshman and the army of monkeys. They are now preparing to attack Ravan. Do not worry, Sita, for Ram will defeat Ravan without a doubt. If you would like to give Ram a message, I can deliver it for you. Sita was greatly relieved after hearing that. So now the preparation of just before when the preparation was going on, and just as the battle, they were about to leave, Ravan's maternal uncle Mallavan actually gave Ravan his grandson some good advice. So he said, a wise king never fights with an enemy who has superior strength. Therefore, I advise you to return Sita to Ram and establish peaceful relation with him. Otherwise, O Ravan, you may rest assured that virtue, having taken the form of the enemy, will conquer over your evil self. Ravan, consider Ram to be Lord Vishnu himself. Recognize him as Lord Vishnu himself. Appearing in the form of a human being, you must immediately go and surrender to him and rid yourself from this impending calamity. So this is what Sarama actually told. But Ravan could not accept the good advice. And instead he angrily replied, you are a rascal taking the side of the enemy. You seem very eager to glorify the prowess of Ram. But what do you think of me? You must be praising the enemy because you are envious of me, or because you have been won over to the other side. Perhaps you are afraid of him. I can assure you that you will soon witness the death of Ram by my own hands. So then Ravan made arrangements for Lanka's defense, and he ordered Prahasta with his enemy to guard the eastern gate, Mahaparsha and Mahodara at the southern gate, Indrajit on the western gate, and he himself on the northern gate. And he got Virupaksha to remain in the city center. Then the king dismissed his ministers and retired to the interior of his palace. So, in the meantime, Bibhishan, assuming the form of a bird, got all the informations from the enemy line, along with his associates. His four associates are known as Anala, Panasa, Sampati, and Pramati. Anala, Panasa, Sampati, and Pramati. And so he informed Ram about their defense structure. So then Ram ordered Nila, the monkey general, to attack Prahasta at the eastern gate, Angad and his soldiers will fight against Mahaparsha and Mahodara in the southern gate. Hanuman will lead the attack against Indrajit in the western gate. And Lakshman and I will contend with Ravana and on the northern gate. Sugriv, Jambavan and Bibhishan will stay in the center of our army to provide assistance whenever it is needed. So then they came close to the city. While gazing at the city and feeling great apprehension for its magnificence, Ram sighted Ravana perched atop the northern gate with a canopy held over his head, being fanned by his servants. Okay, so it's already 12:05. So we'll stop now for a 15 minutes break and then we'll continue after.